We're going to be talking about seeking God. And that is so important. And yet it is so neglected by most Christians. And I'm going to point some things out to you this morning I want you to really listen to. But I think, in fact, I know God has shared some things with me this morning that will give you some new revelation on seeking God if you will just listen. The scripture text we're going to use this morning is Hebrews 11:6, a very familiar passage of scripture. And if you don't have this one highlighted and marked and notes out beside it and everything else in your Bible, well, then you need to study Hebrews 11:6 a little more. And it is full of meaning and wisdom. Hebrews 11:6. Of course, Hebrews 11 is the Hall of Faith, Hall of Fame chapter on faith. And in verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, let's stop right there for a second. It's not just difficult. It's not just a challenge. It's not just, you're going to have to really work hard to please God. It says without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's just like for us as humans. Without an airplane, it's impossible for us to fly. You can go to the highest mountain you want to and jump off, and guess what? You're still going down, because without an airplane, it's impossible to fly. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now listen to these next two statements. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. If you're a Christian, you've already done that part. You already believe that he is. You've already trusted him as your Savior. But it goes on and says, and he also must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's where we fall short. Most Christians, in fact, all of us as Christians, believe that first part. We believe that he is. But we really don't believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, or else we would diligently seek him. Now, how do we get faith? We get faith by diligently seeking God. Our faith pleases God. So we diligently seek God, we get faith, we please God. We dig some more and seek some more, we get more faith, we please God more. We dig some more, we diligently seek him, we get more faith, we please him more. Can you see the cycle here? It just gets better. In fact, I'm going to put it in Gomer Powell's language. It gets gooder and gooder and gooder. Yeah, and that's shouting ground like there. Because folks, when we really understand that, when we seek God, it's a win-win-win situation. And seeking God brings great rewards. If you've been rewarded by God, it is a great reward. God doesn't give out menial rewards. When you've been rewarded by God, everybody around you is going to know you've been rewarded by God. The problem is we don't understand what it means to diligently seek him. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm seeking God. I read the Bible. And you guys know how much I believe the Bible is very important. But I'll tell you this much. If you're just reading the Bible, you know nothing about seeking God. Some of you are going, whoa, I thought that was important. It is important. But we need to understand that there's more to it than just reading the Bible. Let me give you an example. Back when Diane and I were the youth ministers at New Sulphur, we went to a concert one night up at the youth campground in Northwest Arkansas. During the concert, I took off a very nice nugget ring that I had. I took my high school class ring, went and had it melted down, and I had a beautiful nugget ring made. It was gorgeous. I loved that ring. Well, I put it in my pocket. When we went out to the van, apparently I pulled the keys out and pulled the ring out at the same time. I got home, started looking for the ring. It wasn't there. Now, if I had just gone back up there and walked around, well, I don't see the ring. Would that have been diligently seeking for it? No. Now, I didn't start off that way. I thought, well, I'll find it. And I just kind of walked around looking for it. Did not find it. What do you think I did next? I got down on my hands and knees. I was going through the grass. It was probably 5 acres out there where everybody was parking, I promise you, I turned over every leaf of grass in there. I thought, well, maybe a vehicle has run over and squished it down in the ground. So I was down there even digging in the dirt looking for the ring. I was diligently seeking the ring. When we read the Bible, we're just kind of walking through the field, and if we don't find God, quote, find God, and we say, well, God said, if I diligently seek Him, reward me. I didn't get any reward out of that. Folks, that's not diligently seeking. That's taking a stroll through the Word of God. Diligently seeking it, getting in there and studying, and turning over every blade of grass and every rock, every twig, everything that you can possibly do to find God. Now, you may say, well, God shouldn't hide from us. God's not really hiding, but you have to seek Him. You have to diligently seek Him to be rewarded. And we need to learn that it's more than just reading our Bibles. You've got to diligently, earnestly seek Him. Now, when you... Oh, and this is good. When you diligently seek God, God said that He will reward you. Remember that verse? That we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He didn't say every third person that seeks. Everybody that seeks God gets rewarded. I don't know about you, but that is a phenomenal promise. If you want to be rewarded by God, God just told you how to be rewarded. And guess what? Everybody in here can do that. Everybody in here can seek God. If you can read, if you can pray, if you can meditate, if you can get around people that are godly people and discuss the Word of God, you can do that. That's how you seek God. There's a lot of different ways of doing it. But folks, what a phenomenal promise. That if you will seek, God will reward you. And He tells us over in Matthew, if you'll ask, what? You'll receive. If you seek, you will find. And if you knock, the door will be opened. I hope you've seen that it's more than just a casual walk through the Word of God this morning, that we have to diligently seek Him. Now, what I want to do this morning, I want to go through several examples of people that really sought God, and I want us to look at how God rewarded them. Now, before we get into this, remember, God is no respecter of persons. If He would do it for the people that we're going to be talking about this morning, He would do it for a brand new Christian. He'd do it for anybody. It works in America, it works in Africa, it works in Asia, it works anywhere. Because God's Word is absolute truth. It will work for you if you will do what God's Word says to do. First example, and most of these came out of Hebrews 11. The first five or six did anyway, so you can go right there and find it. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, how do you please God? Faith. How do you get faith? You diligently seek God. So that tells us that Enoch diligently, earnestly sought God. In fact, he sought God to the point that God said, come on home. And he was rewarded to the point that he did not even have to go through death to go home. Boy, wouldn't it be that great to be that close to God? We don't have a record of anybody else in the Bible that ever happened to. But it said Enoch was translated that he should not see death because he pleased God because of his faith that he got through diligently seeking God. I'm getting more of this than you guys are, obviously. Second example. Says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah's family was spared the disaster that devastated the rest of the world. Why was he spared? Well, the Bible says that he found favor in the eyes of God. Why did he find favor in the eyes of God? Because he pleased God. How do you please God? Faith. How do you get faith? You diligently seek God. Now, folks, think about this. God brought Noah through an event that literally devastated the rest of the world, but Noah and his family were spared. God can bring you and your family through things that is devastating to everybody else if you seek God. Oh, you want scripture for that. Matthew 6:33. If you will seek the kingdom of God and His kingdom and His righteousness first, then all of these other things will be added unto you. It doesn't matter what the economy is. It doesn't matter what else is going on. If you will diligently seek God and His kingdom and His righteousness, God said all of these other things will be added unto you. It doesn't even matter if it gets as bad as it was in Noah's day. God can show you how to be saved and spared if you are diligently seeking Him. A lot of times we go through things that we get mad about and upset about, and God all along is saying, I want to show you how to avoid this, but you're not seeking me. You're going to all of these other people looking for the answer. They don't have it. But I do. When things are going good in your life, you ought to be seeking God. When things are going bad in your life, you really ought to be seeking God. You ought to be in the Word of God and in prayer and doing everything you can to get close to God even more than ever before. Because you need God's guidance and you need God's favor and you need God's hand upon you. The next example. By faith, Abraham, and we know Abraham became the father of faith, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. So we see that faith, sometimes you have to be willing to go somewhere you don't know where you're going. That's why they call it faith. And it says, by faith, he sojourned into the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Abraham said, okay, God, you've told me to go, to get away from my kindred, to go to this other country. I don't really know where we're going, but did you notice what they called it? They called it the land of promise. God said, Abraham, I'm going to make you inherit this land if you will just have faith in me and trust me. So we know that Abraham had been seeking God and diligently seeking God, and God gave him the instructions that he needed on where to go so that God could bless him. And did God ever bless him? Does the Bible say that Abraham was rich? Nope. It says he was very rich. And if you read in there, Abraham doesn't take anything from anybody else because he says, I'm not about to give you the opportunity to say you made me rich. I want everybody to know that God made me rich. I don't know about you, but I like that. And God also gave him special favor with God himself and with other men because Abraham, by faith, did what God told him to. And we know about Sarah. It says, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Folks, Abraham and Sarah could not even have a baby when they were young and when they both should have been very fertile. And yet, because of their faith that they got from diligently seeking God, God not only gave them a son, or a child, but he gave them a son, which back in biblical days was a great importance. And not just a son, but a blessed son. There's a big difference in just having a kid and having a blessed kid. Remember Ishmael? Ishmael was not blessed. Ishmael was of the flesh. But Sarah had the blessed son. So God can cause things that are absolutely, totally impossible to come to pass in your life if you will diligently seek Him. Moses. Moses was rewarded by not only being a friend of God, but by, also by being able to see God in a way that very few people ever did. Remember when God put Moses in the cleft of the rock and said, "You can't look on my face, but I'm going to get close enough that you can see me." And when Moses came down off of the mountain, they literally had to put a veil over his face because the glow was so bright that people couldn't stand it. Folks, what a reward to be that close to God. How do you think he got that close to God? I can tell you how he got that close. If you'll go back, been probably 3 years ago, I preached a message on Moses versus the children of Israel. God called the entire nation to come before him. The nation of Israel said, "No, Moses, you go. We don't want to be in God's presence. You go get in God's presence. We'll stay here. You come talk to us." Moses went in. The nation of Israel ran from the presence of God. We need to seek God's presence to get in there so we can be just like Moses, so we can have get so close to God that we could be called a friend of God and that people could see that we've been with God. Folks, they can tell the difference when we have and when we haven't. Another example was Joseph. Joseph was rewarded by God that no matter what happened in his life, God kept bringing him out. You all know the story. His brothers hated him, put him in the pit, then sold him as a slave, then he got accused by the lady of rape, then he got sent to prison, and every time God kept bringing him out, kept bringing him out, kept bringing him out, Joseph stayed faithful to God, kept seeking God, and God eventually put Joseph in a place of high honor and gave him supernatural wisdom. How do I know God gave him supernatural wisdom? How else do you run an entire nation's food source when you've never done it before except for supernatural wisdom? And remember the dreams? God told Joseph exactly how to do it to save not only the nation, but eventually it saved Joseph's family back where they were. You don't get that kind of wisdom walking through the field by just a casual study of God's Word. And you got to diligently seek God. But apparently, hopefully, you're seeing the rewards here. I want to give you two more. I don't know about you, but you know, I think we all would have to agree we're in tough economic times right now. Things are tough. Things are hard. And even during the good times, sometimes people try to come against you and try to destroy you and try to do things that will pull you down and tear you down. Well, these next two ought to get you really excited. Isaac was rewarded with a 100-fold return, the Bible says, in a great famine. What is a great famine? A great famine was not a recession. A great famine was a great depression. They relied upon their food back then to live. We rely upon our food today to live, and we buy that food with money, and if you don't have the money, then you can't buy it. But it said that Isaac sowed even in this famine, and even when everybody else was not getting any kind of a crop, it said that Isaac sowed and God gave him 100-fold return. Now think about that, folks. Here's Isaac's field. Here's everybody else's fields around him. Their fields are all barren. Their fields are not producing anything. But Isaac's is green and growing and producing 100-fold. What a reward. But he was diligently seeking God. And then Jacob, he was rewarded with supernatural favor. Remember when Jacob, his father-in-law said, "I know that the blessing of God is upon you." And the father-in-law tried to twist that where he could destroy Jacob and could get some favor himself. And I don't remember the whole details about if he called for, he said spotted calves first or plain calves first. But whatever he did, God turned it into Jacob's favor. So whenever somebody's trying to come up against us, guess what? God will turn it into our favor if we are diligently seeking Him. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says, when our enemies come up against us one way, God will cause them to have to flee from us in seven different ways. That is being rewarded. I get excited every time I see an enemy come up against me. When I stand against that enemy, when I stand on the Word of God, I'm like, you're going to have to flee from me in seven different ways. That's exciting. But to get there, we have to diligently seek God. And folks, when God blesses you, nobody or nothing can stop the blessing except you. In every one of these situations that I shared with you, nobody could stop the blessing. Nobody could stop the supernatural favor that God had put on these people except themselves. If you're not being rewarded by God the way you want to be or need to be, you're the only one that can change that. You need to start seeking God. Hopefully by now you can see that it is to your advantage to diligently seek God. God says, I will reward you. In fact, God wants to reward us. But if we don't seek Him, He can't. If we don't seek Him, He cannot reward us. I want to encourage you this morning to do what the Bible talks about. It says to run hard after God. Run hard after God. To press in. To diligently, earnestly seek Him. I'm even going to give you a challenge. For however long, for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, however long you want to do it, set aside as much time as you can to diligently seek God. And yes, you have time. You do not have to watch CNN to find out how bad things are. You can go to God's Word and find out how good things are. Turn off the TV for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Don't do some of the things you normally do so that for a period of time you can diligently seek God. And watch the rewards come into your life. It's not going to happen in a day or two. But over a period of time, as you continue to diligently seek God, He said He will reward you. Folks, I really hope this is coming through today. This hit me so strong this week. And like I said, God gave me these examples this morning. And I'm like, it's true. And we could go to modern day examples. Everybody that I know that has truly been blessed by God is a seeker of God. A diligent seeker of God. And they have made God first and foremost in their lives. And they have put Him as top priority and made everything else second and third and fourth. It's time that we really get serious about our relationship with God and diligently seek Him. To get down in the spiritual grass and start pulling the blades apart and really start looking. Turning over every rock, turning over every twig, doing everything we have to find God. And guess what? God says when we draw nigh unto Him, He will draw nigh unto us. So as we're looking for God, all the time God's getting closer. And as we're looking for Him, He's getting closer. And we're still looking for Him, He's getting closer. And next thing you know, there He is. That's when it gets exciting. When you finally wake up and there He is. Yes, if you're a Christian, He's already on the inside of you. But let's put it this way. There is His fullness in you at that point. And He's going to do things in your life that you won't even believe. Because He said that He would reward you. I'm going to ask Marlene and Bill to come. Ask the congregation to stand with us as we pray this morning. Father, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you that you have promised to reward us if we'll believe that you are, and that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. And God, I pray that you would give us a hunger and a thirst, a desire to seek you like we never have. Father, I pray that for an extended period of time, you would help us to turn off the TVs, and that you would help us to shut down the computers, and that we'd put down the newspapers, and that we'd get rid of all of the other things that we need to diligently, earnestly seek you, that every spare moment we have, for an extended period of time, we would earnestly seek you, and that we would use our time in a very valuable way. And Father, we thank you that when your word tells us that as we diligently seek you, that you will reward us. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to make the commitment that this isn't just going to be a short-term thing, but just like all of the people that we read about this morning, that we're going to diligently seek you for the rest of our lives to see what you can do in and through us. I thank you, Father, for what you're going to do here this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.